Quick, look at that. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thanks, everyone.
6:03.
Okay. Fawn sent out the minutes to the last meeting. I'm sorry we haven't been busy. Do I have a motion?
Move it.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Great. Okay, we're going to go. We'll get Tim. Everybody know Tim DeGraff from the RRA? The controller, financial guru. And we have the preliminary budget and now the public hearing today and the final budget, right?
Yep. We'll be voting on the final budget on the 25th. But they opened a 7-day window for people to bombard Tim Rose with emails if they want to.
And there was nobody there.
Showed up at the meeting.
No one showed up. That's pretty
simple,
right?
Okay, and just
you
for
wanna,
the record,
you want to present?
You want to just go over the highlights of it? Anything?
Yeah, sure.
It can be brief. It doesn't have to be more than 5 minutes.
Things go up.
Yeah. And Tim, just for the record, I wanted to state for the recording that Tim Rose is at a conference upstate.
Correct. I just got the question. Nothing. We have no increases across the board. Nothing. From our general tipping fee down to our grinding services that we perform, so there's no increases. My budget with flow control, I have a full 3+ years now of information. So really everything is based off of volume. I take a 3-year average on the volume, and that's really how I come up with my total tonnage, which for this year I have 122,145, and then sewage sludge is at 4,000. I mean, almost $13 million in tip fees. 85% of the budget is based on volume from a revenue standpoint. And then our salaries and wages, transportation and disposal, debt service, that stuff is all contracted. That's also about 80%. So I really, when I come up with the tonnages, I already have spreadsheets that I started years ago that just fills its way all the way through and really fills out my budget. We have some items like sale and recyclables. It gets a little tough to predict. I always say if I could figure out what market's going to be 18 months in advance, I wouldn't be working at the resource recovery. For instance, we're having a good year this year, but literally in the past week, you know, because of what's going on in China, prices just completely plummeted. Not quite as bad as the end of 08 and 2009, but might go there. Single stream's kind of a not good product, and they're starting to realize that. But, you know, I mean, fiber prices are also falling. So my numbers for sale of recyclables, it could be a little bit high, but, I mean, I really am talking about $35,000 in revenue a month is really, so it's a pretty conservative number. We're beating that this year. It fluctuates year to year. But it's an important number. There's really nothing else on the revenue side. Salaries are up. 1.6 million from 1.56 million. Some of that is actually filling some vacant positions that we had. Our composting's really taken off. So what happens with that is we have, you know, two individuals that work harder on the composting. We have to spend more time there screening and moving stuff around. We've expanded it. We're looking to add a third area as well because of, if you guys look at our reports that we do monthly, the food waste is just, we are getting some really, really good, blatantly food. I don't even know how to call it food waste. A really good product from one.
Where's it coming from?
Organics Recycling is the name of the company. They're all around. It's so hard to have a concentrated area, you know, to pick up spots. But I don't know where they came from that they ended up coming to us.
Right.
But it was a month and a half, 2 months ago they started coming.
It's all part of the first one that you're going to accept the CFA grant for the one last year. We're going to dramatically increase composting. As part of that is an educational initiative, and the Department of the Environment's been doing a lot of work, kind of behind the scenes, not only identifying current carters that could help fill out the expansion, but other ways that we can kind of promote that as a new business line for other haulers as well, too. So that's what's coming from.
Yeah, so I mean,
behind the scenes working on a lot.
Is it out of the county or just locally?
A lot of it's local. Yeah, it's local stuff.
So a lot of the good stuff, the good stuff we're getting is from like your grocery stores in the area.
Yeah.
So it's a big deal. So
Sorry, they'll also build money into that grant. We're going to be doing it from the jail as well. So what's so great about the jail is they everything is already sorted. Like before, it's clean organic waste that comes out. So we're going to be basically adding that to the mix as well too.
That's good. So it's not a huge number on our budget, but in terms of say, it's good stuff. It's good news. So we got that going on. So like I said, that's where some of the increases, because I think our salaries are actually going up like 1.5% this year, but we're filling vacant positions because of all the extra work that's been on compost, which is really good news, providing more services. Health insurance, everybody I think knows the story about how that goes. I think we actually are going up 14% in premiums, but our budget's only going up 11%, and that just has to do with some changes in staff and somebody, say, switching from a family to a single. But 11% is actually not that bad. There's not really much else to speak of other than, I would say, capital outlay. It may look like a high number, $1.1 million, but what we're trying to do is the last couple of years, management has really got on a plan for equipment replacement, which is fantastic. Yeah, which is fantastic. And on top of that, we're trying to front load a little bit of our capital purchases because we're not sure where T&D is going to go when we go out to bid in 2019 for 2020. So to cover our bases and to be conservative, we're trying to buy. We can keep the tip fee flat and replace all of our equipment. I mean, it's a win all around. And then we're safe when 2020 rolls around. Yep, that's good news. So that's the gist of it. I mean, prices are staying flat and volume's consistent and steady. And any questions?
So you mentioned the estimate for the sale of recyclables. It is going up considerably in terms of the budget line.
Because
how does it compare to what's actualized for?
We're probably. I hesitate a little because, for instance, this year we sold 2 loads of used beverage cans. Those loads have been built up since sometime in 2013. I think it was June of 2013.
What do you mean? You mean you've just been collecting like
your cat containers and that type of aluminum.
Oh.
Yeah, and so separate from the nickel cans and all that.
Okay.
And when everyone switched from commingled to from dual stream to single stream, that product was just really slow to come in. And by the time we got enough for a full load, the prices weren't very good, and we had the space, so we saved it.
Right.
So I think we ended up somewhere around 20 cents higher by saving it. So we knew what was coming from China, so we actually sold it this year. So our actual numbers might actually end up somewhere around 600,000 by the end of the year. But it's also revenue that's not really matched with the expenses over recent years as well.
And the follow-on question to that, which isn't really for you because you're the financial person, but you see the difference in terms of the numbers we're realizing for the single-stream product against the when we used to be dual-stream.
Oh, sure, right? Sure,
so,
sure.
Have they been having discussions about going back? I know it's difficult to go back, but
yeah, not that I'm aware. Okay. Not that I'm aware. No, I mean we charge a tipping fee now for the single stream, which we started last year, which is necessary. But
$20.
Yeah, $20 a ton, and single stream actually just dropped down to $3 a ton. The two markets that buy from us, one's $3 and one's zero right now.
I mean, I feel like we do have to, it's worth having that conversation. And I'm very curious about why we continue to hear from Oneida Herkimer, which pretty much all of us visited, that they're making money on their single stream. I don't understand how they can be making money on essentially the same product that we have. But I can totally
understand. I don't know how they're doing their books.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But I can totally appreciate how the product's more contaminated.
Yeah, it just is.
Yeah. And, as at the transfer stations, people are very used to separating out the paper products from the the lesser commingled.
And they still do that at the transfer stations, yeah.
I get that curbside is a challenge, but at the same time, I think we have to think about finding the market. So I don't know. It's a longer discussion, but
should look on Oneida Herkimer's website to see if they have their budget, to see if they're really making money.
Yeah, they definitely do post their budget. I will again.
Yeah.
Can
I ask you a question?
Sure.
One of the big roll-offs that sit at the transfer stations.
The boxes?
The boxes. How much waste does that, like trash, does that fit in that? Is it a ton?
It depends. We've had the discussions. We should be getting in like a typical 40-yarder, 3.5 to 4 ton.
Wow.
Yeah, yep. I mean, we've had stuff rolling, you know, 6, 7, 8 ton, and that shouldn't happen. Yeah. Yep. And there's also limits, too, as to what the Department of Transportation allows you to carry across the road and all that stuff. But I would say 3.5 is probably a good number. Yep.
Cool. Thank you. Any other questions?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Have a glorious night.
Thank you.
Take care.
Now we're going to move to Ken. Do you have anything to note?
Just that's here for the meeting.
Okay. That's great. So let's go to old business proposal for the Ulster County Energy Coordinator, Jonathan and Manna.
Would you like to? I mean, I'll just start with I'm the liaison for this committee to the Climate Smart Committee.
Okay.
In discussions at Climate Smart, meet the last Monday every month. There'd been talk about this type of position. There was references back to when recycling was becoming much more popular, that actually here in this area we had recycling coordinators to help businesses, you know, adapt and evolve into being more responsible and recycling more. And so this idea of a community energy coordinator was brought up and suggested in talking with Manna, who chairs the Climate Smart Committee. We did some research with some other communities. For example, the city of Ann Arbor in Michigan utilizes a similar position. And so we've started crunching the numbers, what it would cost. I just want to point out in the one kind of mock job description, which was brought up just so we had something to point to as an example. Obviously, you know, that's not the full responsibility of the legislature. But the totals off in the back there, where it reads total 100,000, it should read 115,000. That's because after working with Amber to really crunch the numbers in terms of salary and benefits, that's where the final total came to. Again, this is just kind of a rough draft of description, job duties and responsibilities. And qualifications and kind of what the vision of such a position would be. But again, it's really to have someone available that's, you know, specifically in terms of solar and energy and how we can specifically help our business community capitalize and, one, be part of our, you know, overarching goal in Ulster County to be more energy efficient, and also as part of our statewide goals that have been established, but also just simply to help business owners, you know, reap the benefits that can be available. There's a lot of information that constantly flows, whether, you know, it's through the PSC right now, where, you know, how many business owners know that there's a pending rate increase? How many, you know, are aware of, you know, the constant changes? And, like, I'm still learning. I listen to these people at Climate Smart, and they talk about grants available and different projects, different things becoming available, and the speed in which this industry moves. You know, it's hard for me to wrap my head around it. So from there, I'll pass it over to Manna to kind of discuss.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yeah.
Would this position be working for the legislature or working for the executive, the Department of the Environment?
Well, from my opinion, it would logically be housed in Department of Environment.
Okay.
But I think that's open to discussion.
I'm just curious.
I talked to a few people in the executive branch, and nobody, you know, said... Nobody agreed and said this is what should happen. So we're making a proposal.
And one person suggested that it be contracted out, but still they would still have to have a department to report to. I'm not sure if Jonathan explained, I think you said, the difference between the position description that we came up with and the actual proposed budget amendment. Is because the I don't think we realized how expensive the benefits are.
And 58% fringe.
Yeah, when Amber did some research, it was like 59%, and that's why originally we thought it could be accomplished for 100,000, which would be 60, you know, then benefits and some amount for conferences, for travel, for expenses associated with the work.
Right, which would be in the department's budget, not just not the employees' budget.
Ideally. And then, so, but with the additional unanticipated cost of benefits, it went up to 115,778. And so, you know, I think we'd both be open to the idea of it being contracted out, because I expect that contractors generally wouldn't have that high cost associated with benefits. Part of our benefits are because of the pension.
Right. Right. Well, sure. My man and I had talked about this, so I'll be honest. We don't support the new position. This is a major communication issue. Most of the functions that I read in this job description we currently do in the Department of the Environment. For example, one of the main things that we do is we do technical assistance with the towns and the villages in the city of Kingston. For example, most of our towns now have electric car charging stations. Rosendale, Marbletown, Woodstock. It's already that's from our work at the Department of the Environment. You know, Gardner, we're working on you. Okay. Get you one of these days. And for example, we're doing a lot of work on solar pilots. I think that one area where we maybe didn't have until now a lot of the technical expertise. When you look at the rate setting and the issues with PSC, but I can inform the committee that about 3 weeks ago we hired a new member of our staff. He is a graduate of Annapolis. He's a naval officer, young man, who is an expert in energy. He is a just tremendous new asset to the county. He has his bachelor's degree from Annapolis in engineering, and he just got his master's in sustainability from Barber College. He's a member of the City of Kingston Climate Smart Commission committee, and he just brings a huge wealth of energy experience. A lot of you don't know that we recently became the first designated community called a clean energy community. We were awarded a $250,000 grant. So when we were evaluating kind of what we needed on staff, it's great why we hired this gentleman to be taking the lead on that, where we're doing a huge energy retrofit at the jail, because knowing that jail is more about half of our energy use in the county, and we're retrofitting, we're going to do solar hot water and eliminate all the generation of hot water through oil
get rid of those big oil tanks. You can get a lot more parking spots.
Also, looking at ozone laundry, a lot of really creative things. We actually have a pilot that's part of that where we're actually going to provide some. Insurance has been actually really interested in working with us on with some of the alternate fuel vehicles we've been doing, and we're actually going to have a switch out one of the SROs to a hybrid vehicle and have a charging station at his school. And do have like an educational component as part of that as well too. So again, we had that. We've just hired a terrific new member of our staff who has all these credentials and more that are listed on this. A lot of these things we do already. The piece that we felt we were lacking that we now feel comfortable with is the kind of the PSC and reviewing the different changes coming.
I'm just curious, that new person, is it replacing someone, or is it an addition?
This is a replacement for someone who has left service.
Who's left service, okay.
How long ago was this person hired?
About 3 weeks.
And which position is it? Just
so the deputy coordinator of the environment.
The deputy.
The man is deputy.
Mr. Green?
My concern is that it's pretty obvious that we are in a severe global climate crisis. We're seeing this. I'm having a hard time sleeping at night, given what has gone on in the last month. And the progress that we've made up until now in terms of purchasing renewable energy credits and some of the things that are underway is a step in the right direction. But I've been to numerous events where businesses were present and they heard great information and they thought, wow, that's a good idea, and then they went back and did nothing because there was nobody there to help them. It is one of my disappointments with the Energy Improvement Corporation, with Energize New York, that they have done very little in Ulster County. We passed the EIC law, and our businesses are now eligible for that financing, but they don't know about it. And I just think we need to gear this up. In Ann Arbor, where this came from, they actually have very concrete renewable energy generation goals. They have a whole plan with hard, concrete goals that this position fits into. And the best we could do is go with the state's goals and the region's goals and whatever town or county goals there are. But I think we need to be really proactive. If that person's job description includes meeting at least three times a week with local businesses to help them achieve energy retrofits or solar installations, and it can be included, and we're sure that all of these, and the other thing I want to say, I know that Ken's in the queue. I was at the Central Hudson rate case hearings yesterday, and I didn't see anybody else from the county. I saw other people from Citizens Local Power, from Town of Rochester, from City of Kingston. Many, many people gave comment. Now, I don't know about the evening because I wasn't able to go to the hearings in the evening. There are an awful lot of things that affect Ulster County, including this rate hike, the potential Central Hudson, proposed Central Hudson rate hike. I'd like to know what that is going to be costing Ulster County and whether it's been budgeted for. I think there are a lot of policy issues that we need somebody looking out for Ulster County. And it does. I've been observing this and asking questions for 3 years now and longer. And to me, it feels like we need to invest in our businesses and we need to be sure Ulster County's interests are protected in the various rate cases and other legal proceedings.
Thanks for
sure.
Sure. First of all, we have three economic developers that meet with businesses every day. Talking about renewable energy and sustainable practice for the business is one of the things that we do. I mean, we're well regarded nationally for the work that we do with our environment. We're one of the few counties in upstate New York with a Department of Environment, so we're pretty good at it. The problem with the current is the product isn't very good. So we presented this to our business. They can get bank financing cheaper than putting a lien on their property taxes. It's just the reality of it. I know there's just been some state legislation to change that product a little bit to see if that's helpful. But it's not that businesses don't know about it. They don't want it. So that's
You're
part
talking
of
about EIC,
EIC
just for clarification.
Yeah, so that's part of it. So we promote it. We have an agreement with them. Amanda LaValle goes to their board meetings and participates. But our economic developers do put that in the things that we can help business when they meet with them. It's just they look at it like, we can go to the bank cheaper. Why would we do this? That's number one. It's just the truth. And to be honest with you, we did have somebody at the meeting yesterday. In fact, the gentleman that I just discussed reported to his director today. And I heard this from when Man and Joe speak last night. She sounds like she you talked about this position as part of your company. She was describing my job. He was there. So,
well, he didn't have the courtesy to even speak with me about that.
He's a new guy.
It's been 3 weeks.
I'd love to have him come meet you guys later, but we do have this skill set. We work so hard at it. Again, I'm so proud of the team that we have there. It's a small office front end. I mean, just for you guys to understand what we're doing with culvert mapping and the work we're doing up in the watershed right now is so cutting edge. The gamut from the not only the environment but actually and now the energy. What we've done, in fact, the work we've done internally. I mean, when you review the budget, you're going to see we've added another 10 hybrid vehicles to the mix. I mean, we're going to have probably the largest fleet outside of New York City of green fleet vehicles in the whole state. I don't want to detract too much. Comment I was going to make is I know that the description, the way it's drafted, I mean, you'd have to, this is an operational thing. We'd have to figure out, is this a management or a civil service?
This was just part of putting the...
But if you look at the need, we do everything that's on the list. Where we just have a recent improvement is really, we're looking at the rate cases and understanding that, having someone who will be engaged. And, for example, when we apply for intervener status, it is a struggle, to be honest with you. We combine the work of our Department of Environment and Planning. We now have someone that can be dedicated to that work. I think that's really great. And I don't think that it justifies another $115,000, to be honest.
I just want to clarify.
Okay. You're good.
Thank you. That this is not just about the Energy Improvement Corporation. It's any financing. And I'd like to ask if there have been any examples of businesses that have done energy retrofits or installed a solar system as a result of the help that they got from the Department of Environment. And please understand how much I admire the work that they do. I just don't think there's enough resources to address this need.
Yeah, well, the part there are most of their work is intermunicipal, so we do most of that work with the towns, the villages, and the city of Kingston. That other work comes from the economic development. And we tend to have a really, really strong environmental community here, and all our businesses are really sensitive to it. And so, yes, there's been a lot of conversation. I think with regard to the EIC in particular, the response we've gotten back is that's not helpful to us because of the cost of the financing we can get. The bank is cheaper. I'm aware, I think there's one deal that's been done in Kingston since that program was adopted by the legislature about 3 or 4 years ago.
I'd love to hear more, not right in this form, about EIC and to understand the comments that you're hearing from businesses, just because my understanding of the EIC financing was that it had to be a net positive on an annualized basis so that you had to be making money on the improvement against the expense on the tax lien. So no matter how good a borrowing from the bank is, it's not necessarily going to be net positive. But we can talk about that later, because that, I feel like, takes us off focus. I think, we're the Environment Committee, and so by definition, we have a lot of people on this committee that are passionate about the environment. And speaking for myself, I think, Rich and I were here when the Department of Environment was first proposed and through its infancy. And the two of us, along with Brian Shapiro, were some of its initial strongest advocates. And I am so proud of everything the Department of Environment does, and I think Amanda's amazing. I love working with her, and I love her updates. What I'm trying to grasp and get my head around is, if we're talking about, I appreciate that we also have a tight budget, so not wanting to spend $100,000 from a financial standpoint makes sense, but if we're talking in a vacuum, an additional asset in that department, however it's worded, because clearly this is something that would have to be vetted, especially if it's going through, if it's going to be under the Department of Environment, it doesn't happen alone in this committee. But I admire the work that Manna
and Jonathan have done to make it happen, to bring the discussion forward, because for me it's about the concept of adding resources to that department. I mean, if this were a grant, if we had a federal grant to fund an extra person at the Department of the Environment, who would go, oh, we don't need it, because an additional person could make them, help them to do even more, right? So it ultimately is about the money.
This is totally about
the money. Right, it's ultimately about the money. So, but
I'd
that's...
I'd like 15 new statutes of the environment.
Right, and when we advocate for an additional person, despite the fact that the executive is proposing a budget that reduces taxes for the sixth year in a row, that's an amazing accomplishment. I think we also have to weigh what could this additional resource bring to the department. You're saying we're already doing everything, but what more could we do with an extra, not just a body, but an extra person who's, another person who's has special knowledge and skill? And that's, I think, the thing we have to get down and weigh, and then the rest of the nitty-gritty, because as the policymakers, if we as the whole, not just in this committee, but in the legislature as a whole, if we in the legislature as a whole say, we love what the Department of Environment is doing, and we want to prioritize it even more. We want to say, look, we've been nationally recognized, but we want to do even more. We want to put even more resources into this department. Then we have to have begin that conversation about who is this person going to be, how are we going to fund it, and how do we define it, and what do we want out of them? So that's the conversation I think we have to have, not strictly the money conversation. The money conversation we need to have too, but...
I totally appreciate what you're saying, Tracy. I think it's always about striking that right balance between saying, no to the things you want so you have money to do the things that you need to do. We think we've presented a budget that strikes the right balance. I think Amanda is correct to point out that we lack some expertise in the office, and using the resources we have, we now have that expertise. So I feel really good about that. And I'm sure we'll debate this during the Ways and Means process with the budget, but I don't think we'll be supporting any additional staff.
Can I make a comment? I just want to say, this is really well thought out. You guys worked hard, and listen, I'm going to keep this because it's an amazing job description and title for somebody to do. But I think I'm going to agree with Ken on this issue. I do think it's, maybe part of it, what the Department of the Environment does and is going to now do, may be a little bit of a communication issue between us and your office, Ken. And I'm not blaming you guys. We haven't had a meeting in 2 months. That's my fault. Sure. 3 months. That's my fault. But Ken offered the gentleman to come and meet the committee.
I'll then bring him for the next update.
Okay. Yeah. And I'm not going to be here next year, but my suggestion would be work with this gentleman, work with Ken, and work with Executive Hine, and evaluate the performance of this person in the next year. And I think if you're not getting what you feel that the county and the towns need, and the villages and the city, then evaluate it to put it in next year. Because I just don't see when a job description is not even, we don't know if it's going to be civil service, we don't know if it's going to be management, we don't know if... I don't see how it's going to get through the budget process. I just don't see how it's going to get through the budget hearings, to be honest with you. Or maybe in June you can add a position and take it out of contingency if it's not working.
You mentioned that next meeting too. I've been wanting to do this, and you all have county driving privileges, right? So we have a Nissan Leaf now, which is an all-electric vehicle.
Oh, wow.
And you were going to meet at the county office. I was going to let you all drive it.
Can we do that before?
Yeah.
Before.
So just talk to me, but I'll make sure I have actually, I'll have Amanda and Nick at that meeting. You're doing it at the office. I'm going to let you guys drive it. It's a really interesting car to drive. I've driven it a couple times. It's amazing. It has instant torque, and we're getting about 130 miles per gallon now. It's amazing. Well, because there's no gallon, but on a charge, 130 miles on a charge. And
you can't buy them anywhere right now. As Jennifer pointed out to me, yes, Jennifer just got one, there was, to Manna's point about information, I didn't even know about this just as a person, it's not as a member of the public. Central Hudson was offering a $10,000 incentive on a 2016 Leaf, so the
the takeaway price on a 30,000 vehicle with 7,500 and the 1,700 was something like $8,000 on a brand new.
Yeah, we bought ours for 14. We could actually combine with that and actually get it for like less than that right now. But our biggest problem right now is the vehicle only runs on electricity, so you got to have dedicated charging. And so right now, you know, it's going to be, we have another six that are being installed. They're in the queue to be installed right now. We just don't have enough for an all electric vehicle because you got to guarantee. Like for example, in Dutchess, they just bought six of them, but they put in like four charging stations. Like
those 100 miles too.
130 we're getting on ours. The problem is, I don't know that without a dramatic increase in the infrastructure. At least I know with the plug-in hybrids that you always have the gas engine. Right? You're not going to be stuck in a county the size of Rhode Island somewhere, right? But the we'd love to do more of the all-electric right now because they're really interesting. We love the kind of the cost benefit to it. The problem is that we really need to have what's called a fast charger. When you kind of look at the types of charger, we have what's called a level 2 charger, which is really like a slow trickle charge. And a fast charger, we're actually looking for some brand dollars right now to get a fast charger because that'll charge an electric vehicle like that in about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So once we get some more infrastructure, I think you're going to see we're going to have more of them because there's an application where it really works. Like some of our delivery folks that deliver the mail, for example, some of the sanitarians that don't leave, like the city of Kingston, there's a real applicability to it. But if you want to have your next meeting before you leave, Rich, I'd love to let you guys try that.
Maybe we'll do November. Lovely. Can I let Ron speak?
Yeah. And what's the battery life on that, Ken?
It has eight years, but again, but there's still question marks, right?
It'll go further, but it's 8-year.
It's another reason why we have one of them right now. But actually, you're going to find that we're in the budget, you're going to see a pilot where we just added another 10. We're actually doing a leasing deal for 10 plug-in hybrids because what we're doing right now is we're evaluating: is it better for us to own it and deal with the kind of the longevity of the battery? Or does it make sense to lease and know that we're going to swap them out every 3 years? So actually, that's kind of the pilot that we built into the budget.
Now, is that battery refurbishable or recyclable, or how do they?
I don't know, once
the battery is done.
Again, I don't know the answer to that, but what I'd like to do is when you guys maybe put it on the agenda, we'll do an education about it and talk about kind of the types of charging, the kind of, you know, because we just hosted the Drive Electric Week and we had a great, you know, our staff were really up on the description. So maybe we could talk about that vehicle in particular, kind of what's out there, and again, give you all a chance to drive it. I think you might, it's quite interesting. So
interesting. My nephew bought an electric car, hybrid, and he lives in Pennsylvania, but there's no place for him to plug it in where he lives in a condo. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to like run an extension cord and they won't let him, and he's having a big issue. So they just passed some law in the town where he lives where any apartment buildings that have over a certain population have to put in a certain number of electric charging stations. But it's been, I don't know if it's passed yet or they're considering it, but
it's a funny story Amanda told me. You know, there's a gravitas to some of the stuff we're doing, right? And I had her come up to Albany to speak, and we're actually going to construction on our landfill solar project in another week or so. I just did the pre-construction meeting last week, which is, it's a huge project. It's 8 acres of solar panels. This thing's amazing. So Amanda just actually went and spoke at the Statewide Solid Waste Managers Conference on how you do that, because there's a little interest in reusing a closed landfill for solar, but there's a lot of pitfalls. And DEC has been very happy, especially regions, we're real happy that we kind of approached ours, so they have her teaching on that. But they said her friend up in Albany talked about the electric vehicles, and so she took the electric vehicle to Albany, right? And it was like a panic, am I going to make it to the charger? You know what I mean? So we're not ready for a lot of the all-electric vehicles just because we don't have that infrastructure. And again, I feel real comfortable about the Department of Environment using that vehicle for their daily rounds because they're real mindful of it. But we're a little bit further away from that. But
it's changing quickly.
Very quickly. And in fact, the work that we're doing right now, and you know, we're doing a lot of transportation work right now. We're looking at the consolidation of the bus systems with Kingston and a lot of work. And a lot of consultants are telling us just mind-blowing information. Like, in 10 years, there won't be drivers of trucks or buses.
Well, you know,
it's amazing that it will be computerized.
And I think that's why people are putting it off. I'm putting off doing it on my house because I think the technology is going to be five times better in 5 years, or three times better. So why do it today when it's going to be obsolete in 5 years?
But what an exciting time.
It is.
And I'm so excited. I mean, we just put in for a CFA. You know, because we, you know, we're the only bronze level certified climate smart county in the state of New York.
What's the CFA? Is this?
It's a quality funding application. So we've applied for a, basically the last piece to get us our Silver Step certification. We'll be the only certified in the whole state. I mean, there's a lot of great work going on in the county. It's not, all of us should be really proud about it. And you know, and I agree with Manna that that the climate change is a huge challenge, and but and I'm so proud to see what we've been at, kind of what Ulster County has been able to accomplish. I mean, to be told that we're in the top 25 governments in the country with the purchase of green energy, I mean, it's amazing, you know, and but cool stuff going on.
Jonathan?
Yeah, I just want to thank you for the comments. Obviously, I'll talk to Manna and the rest of the Climate Smart Committee. Especially the, you know, the need for focus on the PSC and other proceedings. I'm not totally still convinced there's not more we can do in terms of outreach to the business community from the environmental sense. But again, I just want to reiterate, though, I mean, you've said 100 really great things the county's doing. This is absolutely no, you know, indication that we don't believe in the members of the Climate Smart Committee or myself, Legislative Green. If I can speak, you know, for her, that, you know, Amanda and that team's not doing an amazing job. This is just, again, as I think Tracy did a really good job of stating, you know, the mindset and going about this. And, you know, hopefully there can be more communication between the Climate Smart Committee and ESB, even this committee with the with your office, because I mean, this is something we've been talking about for more than 3 weeks, and you know, just the fact that we've hired, as you described, an energy expert with the Department of Environment, such information, you know, is useful, especially when, I mean, it's out there that, you know, there's a committee and legislators working on issues specifically related to that topic.
I know this committee hasn't met in a while because it was a summer month.
Yeah, but I mean, email with the resume after he's hired, just, you know.
The Climate Smart Committee doesn't have any oversight over any department, so we don't.
No, but again, communication's helpful when, you know, as, you know, on a policy side to have, you know, such information when we, you know, like you said.
Yeah, and also too, the environmental effort permeates all of the decisions that we make. And in fact, listen, I think we have a great team at the Department of Environment. We have an amazing team at the Planning Department. They're involved in a lot of this as well, too. Our purchasing department, I mean, yes, we address the cost of electricity. We lock in prices. We're in all these consortiums. So where rates are fluctuating, we've locked in and been really thoughtful about, you know, the prices and how we kind of manage kind of renewable energy on top of that. So because there's a lot of technical expertise in a lot of different places, not just even in the Department of Environment. So there's a really great
team. Dennis is amazing.
Yeah.
So. Let me let Tracy in. Is that right?
Yeah. I see these things as complementary. And again, I see this as a budget issue more than anything else. And I haven't yet started to really pore over the budget, but I know and can acknowledge that, you know, if money were no object, I would want to see a bolstered and strengthened Department of the Environment, because every great thing they're doing now, I believe they would be able to do more with more resources. I mean, that's just, to me, logical. It kind of goes to any department you talk about. You know, if you put resources toward any department, they're going to have more capacity, more capability, and an additional person with whatever the specific directive is, working with all... That's not to say that what's happening now isn't amazing. It's saying that potentially it could be even better. You know, that we believe in you so much we want to see more. So for me, my first step with the amendment is going to be really looking at the operating budget, the proposed operating budget, and really drilling down on the numbers. And I also think that it's something, you know, I would love to have a conversation with Amanda, not so much about what she's doing, but what she would imagine she'd be able to do with more resources. I realize that's an uncomfortable position for Amanda to be in because she's under the executive.
Yeah,
I get it.
But she's not going to participate in that. She's just not. I mean, it's operations and policy, you know what I mean? But listen, I'll be honest. I mean, again, we made a recommendation on the budget. I mean, we recommended a tax reduction. Mm-hmm. Certainly it's your choice to raise taxes if that's what the legislature wants to do.
But that's not the only option, Ken. That's misleading. I mean, you can find, or
for example, you know, you might want to do a county employee or privatized position, have contracted out. But those are decisions.
I don't understand what your latter comment was. But I don't think the concept of, I don't think it's ever in looking at a multi-hundred page budget, it's ever as simple as, okay, if we're proposing X, then you can raise the taxes and have X or not. I mean, there's a million, and we've been through this drill, there's a million places that you can go through and determine as you're prioritizing that you can make a cut in a budget.
I've worked in government for 25 years. I know the sales tax game. I know, again, but we have, I'm so proud of where this county's come. I know you all are too. You've all, really, everyone in this table can take credit for it. I mean, we have stabilized this government. We are the most financially stable we've been in the history of this county. In fact, the county controller put out a report 2 months ago and said, wow. I mean, you've got to look at our benchmarking versus other counties and using the state controller benchmarks. I mean, we're in a great place. And I think, I know that none of us want to lose that. So, you know, again, I think our recommendation is we don't want to add the spending. We're in the position right now. We think we can cover the need. You can always ask for more. But that's something we'll debate during the budget, you know, and I'm sure we'll have a back and forth the ways and means about it.
Legislative Green, then we're going to finish up. We'll move on.
Couple things. One is, I'd like to invite the new employee, I didn't get the person's name, but to the Climate Smart Committee meeting. I think that would, then we could better understand. I'd also like to see a copy of that person's job description to see how close it is. Unrelated to this, other than to just say that when the county buys energy from an energy service company, so they're actually buying the energy not from Central Hudson but from an energy service company, they can lock in a price. But what's going up is the base price. One of the things, there are two components that are going up, but one of it is the delivery charge, the not how much electricity you use, but the fact that you have service with Central Hudson. That is also going up, and that can't be locked. So I just want to be sure that folks understand that. The other thing I want to bring up is that we've developed a checklist, and this has to do with Public Works, so that we don't have to wonder about capital projects and how they fit with previous rules and policies around sustainability. Tracy had some information, I found some information, and then the staff went through really all the resolutions and bills that have been passed and put together a checklist that we want to, that we're in communication with Mark Ryder and Tom Jackson and others in Public Works so that we can understand, because I feel like every time there's a capital project, I'm asked, especially the ones that have to do with energy or green stormwater practices and green building practices, I keep asking those questions, which I'll continue to do, but it would be nice if when we get the information about the project, it includes a connection with the rules, which actually Rob had a lot to do with, right? And all of the sustainability criteria that are in place. And what that's going to look like, we're going to use a collaborative process to put that together, but it won't be guesswork, and it won't be sort of starting from scratch with each project.
I guess I would say, too, is that, you know, we want to be careful to strike a balance, because in the last 3 years, we've done, including this year, we'll do $60 million worth of capital projects. We've paved more than half the roads in this county in the last 3 years. We've done capital project work that's amazing. We follow all the rules. The policies are there. We're very diligent. That's why we have a Department of the Environment. They sit in on capital project meetings. They weigh in. They give advice and technical support. We're doing a great job with that. So, again, it's like every project we have to then re-explain that we do a good job with that. Like, I'd like to find a balance with that, too. We did due diligence, for example, on the Family Corp, and we made a determination that operationally wasn't going to save money just to have solar on that roof. Because, you know, just because there's a roof doesn't mean solar is the great option, right? And it feels like, you know, I don't want to take staff away from doing work to generate. If you look at, we've done 15 bridges. I mean, if you look at the amount of volume that we've cranked out together over the last, you know, since at least my tenure here, like, I don't want to burden the teams doing that work so much that, you know, let's go fill out the paperwork. You know, like, I'd like to find that balance there somehow. You know?
I just want to say, I think as a legislature, it's hard to put a person in any department when the executive is saying, and his staff is, or her staff is saying, they don't need it. You know, it's just hard. It's hard.
It's want me.
It's right. So I think what you need to do is work with them and evaluate what's happening. Identify maybe. I mean, there's only so much. Like Ken said, the infrastructure's not here in the county to have this huge fleet of cars yet, and it's just.
But we have a huge fleet.
Yeah, but you should. But you know what I mean. To the lease or whatever. Right, you can't have a 50 all cars that can only go 130 miles because you can't charge them all unless people bring them home and you put the chargers at their house and reimburse them for their electric costs. I mean, it's just.
But back to my earlier question. I mean, if we had, and again, I gotta look over this. I just got it yesterday from Manna and Jonathan and Spinal Foreman. I just got the budget yesterday because I didn't physically pick it up till yesterday. But, you know, if the county realized, for me, this is where my mind is, if the county realized a $120,000 grant in the form of a person in the Department of the Environment, what benefit would we realize as a county from that?
They might take it and use it as an existing body that's there already.
Yeah, like a supplant to the same taxpayers.
You know, it could be an existing person. Say this person is doing the work that the grant. I'm just.
But if that's the case, then maybe. But if that's the case, then if that's the case, then the argument, from the executive's office through Ken right now is that we're doing the most we can do right now. That the four people in the department could never do more, no matter what you give them. So
that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that the things that are listed as this job description, we're covering those bases right now.
But that's not what I said. I said if we, the county, got a $115,000 grant in the form of a person, I'm not talking about this piece of paper, what could we realize as a benefit with an additional person in the Department of the Environment? For me, that's the tangible question.
I think that's a healthy debate to have.
And that's what I'd like to know the answer. Like, what more could we do with more resources? If the answer is this piece of paper is already being accomplished, then answer the other question. What more could we do? What could we realize if we wanted to dedicate more resources to the department?
This year, I'm going to do a countywide sustainability program. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do something spectacular on kind of the fight for climate change this year. Okay. That's what we're going to do this year. And in fact, we've applied for some dollars to do that. And I think we want to create models and stay one step ahead and show what's possible. You know, that's what we're trying to do. You know?
Okay. No, that's. Yeah. Hey, I just want to say with Central Hudson with the rate increase. I know none of us want rate increases, but I work in Newburgh and Wappingers Falls and Fishkill, the infrastructure that they're doing down there is mind-boggling. They've got every road dug up. They're replacing telephone poles and running new wire. And it's every street corner and every road, it seems like there's a Central Hudson crew on down there. Their cost to upgrade has got to be, I couldn't even begin to imagine. But they're like taking every 35-foot pole out, putting a 45-foot in. Running new probably, I don't know if it's more efficient, the cable wires, I don't know that end of what they do exactly or how it works, but they're investing certainly investing in the communities and their plan. It's amazing.
We're seeing that here, too, in a lot of ways.
I'm not in Kingston much, and I'm working there.
The economy is getting better. I think that the needs of business and
people's money's cheap still.
It's changing, and the technology's changing so rapidly. Right. You've got to make these investments now to save the money later, and that's what you're doing. Yeah. We're seeing it all over.
I mean, and Liberty Street in Newburgh, it's still got bricks. They're tearing the bricks up and putting plant down. That nothing's gotten under those streets for probably 50 years. So, okay. Thank you, Ken.
Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, we've got one more old business. Oh, let's do the plastic bag quick, just to discuss that. Is that okay, Trace?
Yeah. I didn't do any updates to it because you and I
know,
didn't meet.
I know.
And so I didn't change it. I mean, I don't know where the governor's commission or whatever he calls it that he put together is. I know they were created and they've met, but I don't. He said within a year. Do you know where they're at with their study of plastic bags, because they were going to come back?
No, I mean, they haven't been since it was towards the end of session that they announced that commission that they were forming, but they're not,
January, February.
Yeah,
I guess.
But they're not back until January to begin with. So.
Yeah, so I don't know what's happening with that. I mean, I know that the governor committed to a statewide proposal in basically putting the kibosh on the city's proposal. I mean, I'm prepared to discuss it and move forward, talking to Mary earlier, and I know, Rich, you want to move it forward.
The only issue is...
timing is really going to be tough because we're already in
It's got to, we're between sessions in January. So anything we did now, we have to start over in January if it didn't pass in January.
Right. We'd have to get it passed before the end of the year, which I think would be hard.
Yeah. No, I know, but that's... It's up to you.
I don't know, you want me to try to find out what's happening with the governors? Maybe you can help too, since you're...
Yeah, I mean, nothing substantial is going to happen.
But even just find out where they're at and what they're discussing, that group.
I'm not even sure if they've met.
It's not just representatives, I mean,
it's environmental advocates.
Yeah, civilians. I'll see what I can find out about this report back, and if we want to move something next month. But we'd have to. I feel like we need a special meeting.
We'll do that. We can do that. Okay. We can have a special meeting before. Well, we
did
need a special legislative.
Did you ever canvass the Republican caucus to find where they would be?
Not everybody.
Depending on.
I think we'd be 50-50.
Not that high?
I bet we'd get. I bet we get 4 or 5 people.
Maybe.
I think
and what
be
the
enough.
Sticking factors would be, I mean...
Just not telling businesses what to do. You know, I mean... Yeah.
What did you say?
Another caveat is that I dealt with this issue. Senior citizens tend to come up with strongly opposed to this.
I know, it's so bad.
So, they just do.
But it's mad.
The other thing that I'm hearing from people in the Republican caucus is about... tests that they do on the bags because people don't wash them and the disease and stuff.
But that's totally bogus.
Most people.
I
don't.
Mean, the report I read was from the chemical companies. It was paid for by.
I saw one that was. I've seen some that were done by colleges. I'm just saying that's going to be an objection from that.
I know.
You know what happens, and
we've all done it in California and in Denver, the instances of food poisoning have gone up dramatically since then.
I definitively do not know that.
Okay.
You're not a part of the committee. So
okay,
it's a little frustrating that you're perpetuating kind of industry.
No, but you know, can I just say something, Trace?
Yeah.
We've all done this in our time. If you're hesitant or you oppose something, you find something.
Right.
A reason why to oppose it. Now, somebody else may disagree with it, but we've all done it. You know, from certain things, we all can find something. If there's 10 reasons to do it and one reason not to, if you don't want to do it, everybody would find the one reason not to.
I know, but I'm just taking exception to the concept of, and I don't mean to politicize this, but fake news. And the matter of fact is, you know, many of these studies are clearly funded by the industry that's opposed to it in terms of clearly funded by the plastics industry.
Yes,
so, you know, yeah, anyone, you know, if you're opposed to it, you're opposed to it. You're not opposed to it because of some bogus food poisoning study your postman, because people are, I appreciate, and this is something that is significant with seniors, people are stuck in their ways, and they're used to getting the bags free, and we've become a throwaway society, that's clear. We've become a society that we don't think twice about the garbage that we have to use for 10 minutes and chuck away, despite the fact that that has implications. But I'm prepared to have that debate. I'm not convinced that the body is ready to move this, but I'm prepared to have a discussion about it. I think that logistically, timing-wise, at the end of our session, forget about anybody else's session or any other reality, it's going to be very tough to have the hearings, get through, have the vote,
change the law.
The time to get it to the executive, to run that window out, to, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
So then we'll let it go then.
Aside, I noticed in the Freeman today that Dutchess County, the legislature did a polystyrene ban just for commercial entities today, and they're tapping their horns like it was the greatest thing ever.
And it said only affects one business.
Dunkin' Donuts is the only business they can identify.
But why is it a fast food?
No, they're saying
it's commercial. It's only certain commercial. It's not global like yours is. So, again, the thousand was so great. And
I do think that's funny because Mary and I having co-sponsored that resolution and talked to the industry at the time, we were very surprised and gratified that Dunkin' Donuts was we had a conference call with corporate, and they were the most accommodating.
They were ready.
That's true. I was surprised that it was Dunkin' Donuts.
I like their new cups better than their styrofoam.
I like the new ones. Oh,
just
good.
I like the new ones.
The committee know too that we're having an enforcement challenge right now. All of the seven or eight of the summer camps. Worse, I refused to use to give the polystyrene foam today. So there's a very large fine coming. Again, we'll see what happens during but we've started a formal hearing in action on seven of the camps based on this law. So we'll see how that plays out. So we'll see what happens.
We'll open up as a new camp next year.
Different ones.
Again, we're administering the law to the best of our ability.
Yeah.
I feel pretty good about the compliance rate. What you see a piece of foam once in a while.
It's a big difference over time.
But you're never going to get it all. And I feel good about the effort we push in, but know that we do have seven or eight camps that just said no, we're not following this law. And we'll end up in court. We'll see what happens. So we're going to have a test and see if it holds.
Okay, Climate Smart, want to update us?
I think we covered the two major things are the energy coordinator and the checklist. Those basically came out of Climate Smart and Public Works. I just want to reiterate that, this is a formal request for a copy of the job description and an invitation to the Climate Smart Committee.
Do
you need that in writing?
Well, I'll get you the job request tomorrow. I'll share that with Forum. I mean, it's a public.
Yeah, we could call personnel and get that too.
Yeah,
right. Personnel office. Yeah.
I'm a little sensitive to the Climate Smart because that's not a body that we report to. So, we can talk about it. I don't want to send staff to, I might be willing to go.
In the name of the climate crisis. Since that's the body that was created by the legislature to focus on Ulster County's role in mitigating the climate crisis and promoting resilience, I think that it would be good to cooperate with this request.
But we do report here, not there. It's just the reality of it.
Let's get the young man here first. We can talk to him, and then we can, if you want to have some Climate Smart.
Again, I'd love to work with you to do something on the vehicles. I'd let you have a chance to drive it.
Yeah, I'd love to be able to drive it.
Did you get it from Kingston?
Kingston Nissan. We actually participated in the statewide. They did a bulk bid, all the municipalities, and Kingston Nissan won that bid. So everybody got their cars from Kingston Nissan.
That's awesome.
It's really great for them. But they've been head over heels because they've gotten a lot of business on
them. They don't have any more vehicles. I called everybody today.
No, I know.
Actually called out to Oregon.
We've actually been looking at the Volt. We think that's where we wouldn't want to go longer term. I mean, we got this one vehicle, I mean, for, I think, $14,000 now. I mean, it's nothing. For a brand new sedan, we usually pay $25,000, you know, so. But going forward, again, I mean, right now, we're given, you know, Ron mentioned it, the concern about the battery life, whatever, so you'll see when you see the budget, we're going to try a leasing pilot to see, specifically for the plug-in hybrids, to see if that makes sense for us, and mitigate some of that risk, and put that risk on the leasing.
But I also just want to say that you know I got my first hybrid in 1996, I want to say, and every person at that time, you know, they were pretty new, and every person I talked to asked me about the battery and the battery life and what happens if the battery dies and how long. And that car we gave to our neighbor, who's still driving the car with 240,000 miles on it, in the original battery. So, I mean, I think that with new things, you know, there's an understandable concern, and it's a smart concern to say, well, how is this technology going to hold up? But I'm hoping it's going to be as good as the hybrid batteries, because the hybrid batteries, I feel like, are pretty now understood to be super solid.
And on top of that, it's happening exponentially. So a car right now that gets 100 or 130 miles, it's going to have 200 to 250 miles in a year.
Next year, that's...
So our thought is, with a lease program, we'll be able to swap out. Because knowing the service area that we cover and how we're using the vehicles, the sedans, like, we want to make sure we can cover, you know, but how far can you go on a charge?
You don't want to get stuck in denting it.
Did you know that the Nissan, part of the reason that they did that giant $10,000 benefit, you know, discount to consumers, I don't know about municipalities, is because the 17s get, on paper, they get 107. The guy today told me that they're seeing up to 130. But the 18s, which are being delivered within a month, get 210 on paper, exactly. So that's right now, from the, you know, 1 year to the next.
Interestingly, like, again, we're getting a great mileage with it right now, because the people that are driving it are environmentalists. They don't run the air conditioning, they open the window. They don't, they're careful, they think about their speed and, like, what's the best speed to go to get the most mileage. It's a passion versus your average.
It's challenging. How far can I go?
Yeah, so.
That's funny.
Yeah, but I'd love to have you see it and learn about it, and get a chance to drive it.
Yeah, maybe that we'll plan on it in November.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then December, I don't know if we'll.
Again, it's amazing. You touch this gas pedal and it goes. It's like driving a golf cart.
Mm-hmm. Really?
There's
no
sound or anything. It's amazing.
No noise.
Yeah.
That's one of the issues. No noise.
I know. You don't hear them.
In fact, one time I took it out to run to a meeting to try it, and I pulled up the gate, and the guy wasn't paying attention.
Oh, that happened.
He didn't hear me. He
didn't hear you. Right.
Like, you open the gate.
Cool. Well, thank you, Ken.
Thank you,
everybody. Motion to adjourn. Or any other business?
No.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Mr. Bartel. Say,
well,
all in favor?
7-11.
Thanks, everybody.
Okay.
Thank you.